The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Enter with me the sacred place. Bring with you what is yours, a burdened heart, a joyous song, a wearied spirit, a seeking mind. Bring the gift of yourself to the altar. It is an honorable gift. Good morning and welcome to Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I'm Reverend Andrew Weber. So grateful to be serving this congregation as part-time minister. Thomas Paine is a welcoming and nurturing community dedicated to inspiring spiritual growth for adults and children, caring for our environment, promoting social justice and equality in the larger community. And today, especially, you might see how we strive for spiritual growth and fellowship for all ages. Both our service and the potluck following, don't forget that potluck afterwards, are for adults and children, for all ages. So there'll be some chaos, there'll be some noise, there'll be some elements of the service and the potluck which do not speak to you, and there'll be some elements that do speak to you. Such is life when we bring our full community. Such is life when we bring our full selves to the altar. We are honorable. So come, let us, all of us, worship together. We join now with Unitarian Universalists across the country and around the globe as we light our flaming chalice, the symbol of our free faith. For those joining remotely, please feel free to light a candle, a virtual or physical candle at home, remembering that even though we are distanced geographically, we do not have to be distanced emotionally. And if you were with us on Christmas Eve, you know that our scripture spans so much. And you also may know that I like Shel Silverstein. So I will start with these words. There is a voice inside you that whispers all day long. I feel that this is right for me. I know that this is wrong. No teacher, preacher, parent, friend, or wise man can decide what's right for you. Just listen to the voice that speaks inside. And please respond as we light our peace lamp in our everlasting hope. May peace be with you and with all the people of the world. Please rise in body or in spirit and join with us in singing our gathering song, Enter, Rejoice, and Come In. Rejoice and come in. Open your hearts every day. Now, I don't know how many people look at the order of service before we get here. I'm like, you don't have to show your hands. That's okay. I mean, so I usually do because I need to know what's happening. But like, I don't know. It gets sent out. Maybe you know, maybe not. It's different because you're not holding something. You can't look and be like, oh, what's happening next? So we have an activity now, and we are going to have a story later. If anyone wants to come forward, you may, or you can stay with your families. It's okay. We're going to be flexible. Things will happen. Things will be crazy today. If not you, with me. So right now, our activity, we're going to talk about New Year's resolutions. I was going to ask, what do we do in New Year's? Well, I just said it. So what do we do in New Year's usually? I make resolutions. Wow. Hey. Did anyone here make resolutions? I have a couple. Okay, yeah, a couple. Does anyone here feel like they can share one they made this year or one they made in previous years? Mm-hmm. Try to be a better person. Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you. You're always growing. I like that. Self-betterment, constant self-betterment. Yeah. Stop making excuses to avoid being active. Yes, good. And anyone online, of course, feel free to chat and we'll get those said too. Anyone else? I mean, a resolution to not make a resolution that's going to be broken. Have you fulfilled it? Have you broken it? It's a good one. Yeah. Wow, Butch, thank you. Yeah, appreciate life that's right in front of you and have gratitude. Yeah, wow. Any younger people? I'll get you to Anne. Any younger ones? Any resolutions that you thought about or want to make? Or... It's okay. No? Okay. Anne? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, sure. Get more exercise instead of lose weight, which is sometimes a more difficult and less manageable, less tangible goal. Great. Get more sleep, eat better, eat more fruits and veggies, yeah. And this is a good one. What are some generic, like you can keep telling your resolutions, ones you've made or will make, what are some generic ones when you think resolutions, if you look like top 10 resolutions on the internet, what do you think you would see? Stop smoking, ask for a raise, lose weight, peace for the world. Yeah, that's a, talk about unmanageable, right? Yes, hope for, we work towards, yes. The lose weight, the eat better, those are the classics. The save money, the don't waste money. Dave, did you have something too? I was going to say declutter, but I have to save money. Declutter, yeah, these are ones that keep coming up over and over again. These are the resolutions. And we do this usually at January 1st, at the beginning of the new year. That was just our activity, just like get our minds thinking about New Year's, about resolutions, about what they may be, what they may not be. And I told you before, we're going to be flexible. So I'm going to speak for a little bit. And then we'll do something else, and I'll speak some more. We'll sing, things will happen. If you need a break, any ages, there's a little activity in the back. Thank you, probably, Anne, for setting that up. If you need to do drawing, I'm okay with that. If you want to come up in the middle while I do the story, that's fine. As I walk around, you can walk around too. That's fine. It's okay. So resolutions. This is what I think about resolutions. And generic and what I think about it. See, those are the resolutions you're going to make and not break, right? See? Check. See, there's none there. Yeah, you can do those. I really like the idea of self-betterment, to constantly looking at ourselves and how we can make ourselves be better people, working towards being our best version of who we are. Right? I mean, that's one of my really big things as a spiritual leader, and it makes sense that I'm a minister. I'm also a fitness coach, and this is my sort of other job. It's like working with communities, working with individuals to be better people. So like resolutions resonate with me on a very deep and personal level. And last week, as I know from what Jerry did last week, is a time that we came together to let go of what we want to let go of. You write it down and you physically burn it, a really symbolic. And that's fantastic. It's like what I want to let go of from last year, from my life, that I do not want to carry along into the future. I love it. I love self-betterment. But, there's always this but I don't like the idea of New Year's resolutions. One, the idea that it's time constrained, but also that the foundation, the generic, and some of the ones we shared here are fantastic, and whether that's that we're just self-realized beings in a great plane, which we may be, or whether we're trying and striving for that, the generic New Year's resolution has at its foundation an idea of worthlessness, an idea of shame, idea of not being good enough. I mean, that's where it comes from. It's like, I want to be a better person because the person I am is not good enough. I'm going to lose weight because I have less worth as this size person. I need to pay down my financial debt. I am not valuable as a person without monetary value. Right? I mean, you know what? The process of feeling unworthy, this might not be a surprise, but it's good to say, the process of feeling unworthy, of feeling shameful, is just telling us to change. It's like, I'm just going to tell myself to change because I don't feel worthy. It's like, well, that's not going to get us very far. That's not sustainable. And that's part of the reason that you make a resolution January 1st and February 1st. You know, I don't even remember what my resolution was, let alone keep it. It's not we don't have a sustainable model for what we're doing. It's not working. And so what we can do instead, this is the trick. Here we are. This is what we're going to do, is work towards self-acceptance instead. To say, I can accept myself for who I am, for what I do, those things that I want to let go of and the things that I want to keep. And that actually is a more sustainable way to change. And it's counterintuitive to say, well, if I don't like this part of me, how is accepting it going to help? But stay with me. Stay with me. Let's do a mental exercise. Start with a mental exercise. Imagine that you are doing one of these habits, one of these behaviors that you want to let go of, that you want to stop. I'm eating another cookie. I'm watching more TV. I'm scrolling social media, or whatever it is that comes to your mind. We are engaging in that scorned activity. And now what? I see two options. The first option is to react with admonishment, react with judgment. What are you doing? You just made a resolution. You can't even keep it 1 week. You're out of control. Okay, that's the sort of cultural norm. That's the for me, at least, the easy one to fall into. Judge myself. Okay. What's the other option? There are other options to look at ourselves without judgment, without this need, this desire to change. Observing without shame, rather with an openness to exploring feelings, needs, and thoughts which come up as you're engaging in this transgression, right? So I see that I'm doing something I'm not proud of. What am I feeling? What is going on in my mind and my body? Don't try to stop it. Just acknowledge. Okay, so what? So what? I get to this point. So what? So we judge ourselves or we don't judge ourselves. What changes? Well, you may be, if you really engage with this, you may be able to feel that change in your body right now. If you really did this exercise deeply, you can feel that. That second option of observing without judgment allows us to take a step back and see ourselves. Physical tension actually releases when I'm like, why am I doing this? I'm like, I'm doing this. Just see it. Just observe it. Don't judge. There's no, I'm a bad person. But instead, there's an openness. An openness to listening. The change is that we're training ourselves to act like a good friend or act like a therapist, right? I mean, that's what we want from a therapist or a good friend. We want them to not shame us for our actions, but to acknowledge them, to ask about our feelings, to hear our pain, to hear our joy, to hear our needs. And this is what we're doing to ourselves if we can get to that point. And that's hopefully where we can get to, a release of shame, an overabundance of acceptance. I mean, wow, that feels great, right? And it gets better, right? It even gets better. How can it get better? It gets better because letting go of that shame opens a path to forgiveness, to self-forgiveness, opens a path of acceptance, and then a path of sustainable change, where I can accept who I am, and then I can grow into the best me possible. When I see that I am worthy, when I see that I am worthy even when I'm splurging on junk food, only then can I move into a place of possibility. Shame and rules only make me feel bad about myself. Self-acceptance, however, opens up this sort of fullness of possibility and loving change. And I say this, I mean, like, I hear myself saying this, I read what I've written, and it's like, this is not easy. It's not like, oh yeah, okay, check, done, great, okay, that was, yep, I got that. No, it's so easy, for me at least, I speak for myself, it's easier to come from a place of a judgment, to come from a place of, say, there's shame, there's disrespect. It's harder to look at my broken self, my tired, imperfect self, and say, I am worthy. I have value. You are worthy. You have value. Yes. Yes, even you. Even when you're like, but I, no, no. Even you. Yeah. So we start by looking at ourselves with curiosity. And from there, moving on to self-acceptance and possibilities for real growth. And I hope this is, I'm going to add a New Year's resolution. Even if you think you can't hold it, or if you're like, I do not like resolutions, I'm going to add one to your list. Accept myself. Right? That's all. If you wish. My invitation to you is to write that. Accept myself. Accept yourself for who you are, right now. Accept yourself for who you are. So we shift. We're shifting now in the service, but hold on to that. Accept yourself for who you are. We're shifting to a story about people searching for someone worthy of love, searching for someone holding the divine in them. And it's related. It's related. You'll see the relation in a little bit. And we're shifting to a story of a girl who knows she is worthy. But remember now, you are enough. You are good. You are worthy of love. Amen. And in a what may feel like a big shift but isn't, you'll see in a moment, let us stand in body or in spirit and sing, We Three Kings. You'll see the connection, I promise you.
We try.
So I promised two stories. This is the first was the three men searching for someone worthy. The second is a girl who knows she is worthy and enough. If you want to come forward, now's another chance to come forward. The pictures will also be up here, but I'm going to sit down and read it to whoever's nearby, which could just be the people in the front row. Hello there. Hi. Hi. This is I Am Enough by Grace Byers. I really like the name Grace. It's also my daughter's name. So. I am enough. Oops. Oop. Like the sun, I'm here to shine. Like the voice, I'm here to sing. Like the bird, I'm here to fly and soar high over everything. Have any of you done that? On a swing? Yeah? No. Like the trees, I'm here to grow. Like the mountains, here to stand. Like time, I'm here to be and be everything I can. Like the champ, I'm here to fight. Like the heart, I'm here to love. Like a ladder here to climb and like the air to rise above. Like the wind, I'm here to push. Like a rope, I'm here to pull. Like the rain, I'm here to pour and drip and fall until I'm full. Like the moon, I'm here to dream. Like the student, here to learn. Like the water, here to swell. Like the fire, here to burn. Like the winner, I'm here to win. And if I don't, get up again. I know that I may sometimes cry, but even then, I'm here to try. I'm not meant to be like you. You're not meant to be like me. Sometimes we will all get along, and sometimes we will disagree. I know that we don't look the same, our skin, our eyes, our hair, our frame. But that does not dictate our worth. We both have places here on earth. And in the end, we are right here to live a life of love, not fear. To help each other when it's tough, to say together, I am enough. It's a wonderful book. Thank you. You may return back to your seats. You may also stay here, and you may go back to the activities. This book is so good that we actually have two copies here in the fellowship. We didn't know until this week when I said, great, I got a book. I picked it out of the classroom, and then they said, well, I got the same one from a different classroom. I was like, well, look at that. We have two. You can never be told this enough or tell yourself that enough. I am enough. Now, if you didn't realize by now, it may be a surprise, I often have a theological and a practical sort of part to my sermons. Today, they just happen to be separated by a song and a story. So the first part was a little bit more practical. Now I'm going to get a little theological. So if you need to like brace yourself, or like, okay, Andrew's going to talk about God. Like, okay, this is the time to do that. It's going to get theological. And as such, I'm curious, does anyone know what holiday just happened, religious holiday, and why we sang We Three Kings? Well, any non-ministers know what? No. Epiphany. Yes, you can say Epiphany.
I do a lot of work with
Yes, so Epiphany, Three Kings Day, the 12 days of Christmas. You know that long song? Yeah, the 12 days of Christmas just ended on Friday. There was like a 12th day of Christmas, and that's when the three kings are supposed to have arrived, as tradition goes. So if you have a nativity set with the kings, they only should have come on Friday. They should have been on their way until Friday, right? And I guess Jesus shouldn't have been there until the 25th, but that's, yeah. So most of the story we know from this is tradition, is built up afterwards. I mean, the story around the three kings and them coming and presenting the gifts. There's an entire biblical account is quite brief. The entire biblical account of Epiphany is brief. It's in the book of Matthew, chapter 2, if you want to like check it out later. You'll be like, where is that? What does it actually say? They aren't called kings in the text, nor are they numbered or named. So if you're like, oh, there are three, and they're Melchior, Caspar, and Balthazar, it's like, no, that's a later addition. We don't know if it's right or wrong, but it's not biblical. And I could preach an entire sermon on how stories grow and expand over time, and they go past their little kernel beginnings, and how those extrapolated tales don't diminish the story, but actually add to it and bring. But that's another time, another sermon for another time. For today, let's stick with the Magi and their travels. I was brought up in my family listening to this is the annual tradition of listening to the one-act opera A Mall and the Night Visitors by Giancarlo Menotti. And this less than one-hour show tells the story of the three kings and one of their knights on this long journey, because it wasn't just like a day. I mean, it was months or weeks or maybe even years of them going following the star, if we take where they came from and where they ended up and do some extrapolation. So one of these knights, the kings and their entourage stop at a poor family's house to ask for a place to stay. And the family that they come upon is a woman, a widowed woman, and her son, who walks with the aid of a crutch. And the entire opera is that interaction, which transpires when the very rich, wealthy travelers come looking for lodging at a poor family's house. Now, in this imagined but not plausible interaction, the topic comes up of why they have so many gold and gifts. Why do they have so much money? Why do they have so many gifts? And the king, being asked, responds, "These are the gifts for the child." To which Amal, from Amal the title, Amal's mother, asks the question, "The child, which child?" And I love how in the opera, the response isn't Jesus. I mean, that's what you would expect. No, he says, "We don't know." He says, "We don't know." The king then goes on about the child they're looking for, which was the prelude that we heard this morning. That was the prelude we heard, was them singing about the child they're looking for. And there's some racial stuff here, but the child they were looking for, when Menotti wrote this, was a child the color of wheat, the color of dawn. His eyes are mild, his hands are those of a king, as king he was born. A child the color of earth, the color of thorn. His hands are those of the poor, as poor he was born. All the while, Amal's mother responds, "I know this child, it is my son." Now, nearer to the end of the story, as the kings are taking their leave and continue on to Bethlehem, a miracle happens. Amal, who could not walk without his crutch, offers it as a gift to be taken along, to say, "Give this to that child you're looking for." And then he's healed, and he joins them on their journey. Now, the kings change in their outlook of Amal when this happens. It's not that surprising. They ask for permission to touch this blessed child, Amal. Now, it's in these two interactions that I see a deep and a challenging theology. The first interaction is the mother's question, "The child, which child? What child are you seeking? What child are you traveling so far to see and bless with wealth, with gifts?" The second interaction is the king's response to Amal, first coming to him as a poor shepherd boy, and then approaching him with reverence, with awe. The mother's question, "Which child?" has been answered by the Magi, the answer of every child. The wise men who were looking for God incarnate found exactly that. Right? They were looking for God incarnate Jesus, and they found God incarnate Amal. In Amal, in the shepherd boy. They found the divine incarnate in the widowed mother who so loved her son that she was willing to beg and steal for his welfare. Part of my calling is to look into experiences, to glean out the divine in the mundane as I see it. I'm not putting the divine in, but I'm not creating it, but I'm looking at it. I'm gleaning it out of saying, where might it be? And the Magi, through the interpretation, through the exploration of this story, show us where to find that divine. And that is in everyone. That is where they find the divine. When we are on our way to experience the holy, when we are going to sit with God, however that looks to us, when we are going to interact with the divine, when we are striving for self-worth, it is already there. The kings in the story were on their way to find God incarnate in humanity. They found God incarnate in humanity, in Amal and in his mother. I'm reminded of another song sung mainly around Christmas time, "Mary, Did You Know?" Now the easy answer is yes, she knew. Okay. She knew. She was the first to know. But putting that aside, because there's some deep theology here, again, which transcends the story, which goes beyond the container. Amal brings me to tears because I'm reminded of the holy in my children, in my parents, in myself. "Mary, Did You Know?" does the same for me. As I generalize the lyrics for all of humanity, I mean, listen to the... It's beautiful. When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. That little baby is your child. That little baby was you. Yeah. The face of God. The sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. You are the great I am. I mean, that's the theology, that you are enough, that you are holy, that you are worthy, even when you're eating that cookie, when you're biting your nails, when you're doing whatever action that you want to take, get rid of, when you're wanting to let go of that, even then, you are still holy. You are still the great I am. The question of which child? The question we'll hear later in a hymn of what gift can I bring? The answer is the same. The child is you. And what you can bring is yourself. Your whole self. Your true self. Your broken, your erring, your stubborn, your sad self. Your healing, your loving, your strong self. All of that. Because you are the great I am. Bring yourself to everything you do. And the expectation that you are always enough. You are always worthy. Amen.
that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters. Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand?
Did you know?
We come together each week from the multitude of our lives, and we bring with ourselves the pain, the joy, the laughter, the tears in our hearts. And it is right and it is holy to bring your whole selves here. This community welcomes you with all your celebrations, with all your concerns. And if you have such that overflows, the pain you need to share or the joys and celebrations you need to share, this is the time to do it.
Okay, I don't see anybody else with their hand raised, so we will turn this back over to Andrew to bring our time of sharing to a close.
Let us remain seated and sing together, "What Gift Can We Bring?"
What gift can we bring? What present, what token, what word?
Please pray with me. Spirit of life, earth and sea and sky, place of deep longing in my heart, find your way from silence to voice. Give me strength and courage to speak truth through my life, for I am a creature of the universe, small but infinite, a momentary body in the sea of life and also the sea itself. I am a gathered bit of energy and one who gathers, a creation and creator. Let me not hold too tightly to one form and lose the other, for we are not form but process, ever changing and ever renewing. Help us see that we are neither the beginning nor the end, but something perfectly natural and imperfectly divine. Amen. Now please rise in body or in spirit to sing our closing hymn, This Little Light of Mine. Be seated. As we extinguish our communal chalice and the peace lamp, we know that this extinguishing is merely symbolic, for the lights in our hearts continue to shine on as we let our light shine. Thank you. I close with these words from St. Francis de Sales. Do not desire to be what you are. Desire to be very well what you are. Amen and blessed be.